This computer. All right, we are live. Hello, welcome to the Showrunner Training Series presented by the Animation Guild's Writers Craft Committee. I'm Josh Brown, a volunteer with the Guild, and I'm joined today by Tanya Melendez.
Hello.
Tanya is an associate producer at Nickelodeon. She's worked as an EP, a PA, a script coordinator, a PC, a production manager, a color stylist. She's currently working on Star Trek Prodigy and the Rise of the TMNT movie, which will be on Netflix. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here. Happy to work with you and talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so we're really interested. You've worked in like every facet of production up to now being an associate producer. We'd just like to know a little bit more about you and how you got your start in animation and how you sort of rose through the ranks.
I'm sure a lot of people say this, but I've always loved animation. Grew up watching like every animated movie that we could get, Blockbuster, the library, just kind of always obsessed with watching new movies, old cartoons, and but I never really like imagined myself working in animation. It just seemed like this awesome field that's like other people do that. And so after college, I just kind of bounced around. I worked in like a pharmaceutical company doing marketing. I worked in an art gallery, kind of like running the bookstore and booking, like helping organize book signings. And that was kind of how I kind of got closer to the animation industry because we would do book signings for like art of books. So like the Art of Brave or the Art of the Incredibles or whatever. And I would help organize that, reach out to people in the industry to come speak and sign books. And it kind of made me feel like, I wonder if this is something I could like get into working in animation. So I just decided to start applying and sending resumes out. And I sent them to literally every studio like once every few weeks and nothing. You'd maybe at most like the automatic email of your resume has been received, but nothing. And then like 4 months later, I got two interviews the same week, which was funny. One at DreamWorks, one at Nickelodeon, and I got both offers. I ended up going with Nickelodeon. It was an executive assistant position on the 2012 CG Turtle series at Nick. And that was really fun. It was an adventure. And on that show, I got to help on like a couple other things that the producer was also working on, like the Lucky movie and the Albert movie. And then I also got to do some script coordinating work on that show because the script coordinator left. So it was definitely a lot of experience and fun working on such a big project. And then after that, I moved over to the Rise of the TMNT. So a lot of turtles and I started as a PA and then went quickly to the production coordinator role. And then I did that for a while. And after that, I got promoted into the manager role. I was kind of expressing my interest for growth and my, leaders felt I was ready for that. So it was a good timing when our production manager got an opportunity at another studio. And then ever since then, I've just been working on Rise. And then we got this movie project that's going to be airing on Netflix, hopefully this year. And then I also now I'm working on the Star Trek Prodigy series, which is a CG series. And I'm really excited about that project. And yeah, it's just been kind of a steady thing where I'm just trying to keep challenging myself and growing and learning and hopefully making a difference on these teams. So that's what I like about production is that you kind of have more of an overarching view of everything. And it gives you a little bit of like that eagle-eye view where you can see a little more of maybe what's not working smoothly or where some of the backup or bottlenecking is and hopefully do something about that and at least within your limits. And yeah, that's kind of been the production growth.
No, what's cool about that is that we're very interested in clarifying what the pipeline looks like for animation. You have kind of experience at pretty much every step of the way up now to, higher and higher leadership roles. So this series is for showrunners, and I want to ask you, what does a typical work week look for you, now as an associate producer on either of these projects? What do things look like when everything's running smoothly?
When everything's running smoothly, which I've only experienced in a brief window of magical time, it's a lot of just checking in, making sure that everything is still running smoothly and set to continue running smoothly. So you're kind of just checking in with your production team, you're checking in with your EPs, you're checking in with leadership. So whether it's like an art director, supervising producer, your directors, your design sups, just kind of, and your post team, your overseas studios. I mean, typically, at least on every project I've ever worked on in like a managerial status, I've met with overseas every week either way, just to kind of how's everything going, making sure everything's going smoothly. So I think if everything is going smoothly, it's just kind of having that like far out view to make sure that that's going to stay that way. So what could be an issue in the near future, or what's something new that could, throw a wrench in this seamless way we seem to be moving, and then just kind of trying to forecast that and get ahead of it if it looks like it might impede. But otherwise, just a lot of checking in and making sure that it's not just also a facade of things running smoothly. Sometimes you have people that just are quiet, or they're like, yeah, it's going great. And then a deadline comes, and oh no, we need like 2 more weeks or whatever. So that's another thing, too, just really. Not just always taking everything at face value, checking with them and get not necessarily being like a detective, but going to a few different sources to make sure that it is indeed running smoothly and not just one person's perception. Since everyone's so specialized a lot of the time, it's good to just really confirm that as well and do your due diligence to just make sure that is the true status.
Right, so there's obviously an element of management. Like, was that something that was there any kind of learning curve as you transitioned up and suddenly there's all these people who are reporting to you and you have to make sure you know how to read them and make sure
Right.
that they're on track?
That's something that I've been working on for a long time in different capacities. Like in school, I did a lot of tutoring, or I always tried to kind of do things where I would help people or be like a leader in a small capacity. So this is the first time when I became a manager, it was the first time that I led such a large group. But it's definitely something that I've always tried to do just in my interpersonal relationships, is reading people. How do these people learn, or are they going to understand what I'm saying better if I say it to their faces, or maybe just a quick email for that person? They don't want to meet face to face if they don't have to, or because that's a huge part of it. A lot of times you're a really strong production coordinator, but maybe you're a little bit shy, or you're not assertive, you're not maybe as organized as you might need to be in that next step. So I think a lot of it also being an EA, an executive assistant, you kind of have to build a tough skin because you're, and honestly, I've gotten a lot more assertive since that role, because you have to be able to, hey, there's a conference room. And yes, this is back when we went into conference room full of people, EPs, maybe Kevin Eastman's there, you don't know. And your EP is late for a meeting. You don't have to be, you're gonna have to just knock on that door and say, hey, just want you to know there's a meeting that you need to go to, So there's a lot of assertive skill that I had to build there. And I think it's definitely come in handy here, because you do sometimes have to have the awkward conversations, or just, hey, sometimes people are behind, or you've noticed their work slipping or whatever it is, and you do have to be able to talk to them about that. So I think that can be sometimes something that is a learning curve thing going into any leadership role, whether it's in production or, oh, I was a storyboard artist, now I'm going to be an assistant director or director. And there's just that added people skills and communication that need to happen, or else it will definitely be an issue.
Yeah, which transitions to my next question. Well, like, what is your interaction on a daily or weekly basis look like with the showrunners that you've worked with on these shows?
It depends on the showrunner. Some showrunners love to check in. I want to meet with you weekly. I want to kind of get a status update or share my feelings on how things are going. And some are a little bit more hands off. They kind of want to go to the things that they absolutely feel they need to be in. And then, unless there's a problem, or unless you need to talk to them about something specific, there might not be like a recurring meeting. But for me personally, I like to have a recurring meeting on the books. You can always cancel it, but it's nice to have it there so that, oh, I would love to get their feedback on this thing, and I have that meeting I can talk to them about. And sometimes it's just a quick 10 minutes, but I love that, because I think it's really important to work with EPs and get their feedback and see what they're seeing, because a lot of times they'll see things that you're not seeing. It's through their lens, and it's great to just get their feedback and, okay, I didn't even know that was an issue. We can easily fix that. And that's something you won't know if you're kind of not having a little bit more casual chats occasionally, like if you're only meeting for very specific reasons. So I personally like those kind of, even if it's just bi-weekly, like a check-in where you can just, hey, is there anything that's come to mind, or how are things from your end, kind of thing.
Yeah, what I'm really hearing is that so much of it is communication and making sure everyone knows what's going on. Do you feel like a production manager, associate producer, that role is about making sure that you are the bridge between the showrunners and every other facet of production to make sure that there's no miscommunications?
I would say so. I wouldn't say that it's entirely our burden to do so, because I would still expect, you don't want to have to hold the writer's hand when they have an idea and they want to pitch it to the art director or something. You want to at least hope that they have that function, but you do want to kind of ease it along, be the catalyst. If you're noticing someone that's hesitant, hey, do you want me to book a meeting with them? We can easily book a meeting. I'll sit in there too if you want. Because obviously, creative leadership comes from all sorts of personalities. I think in production, you try to cultivate someone that's a little more outgoing because they need that skill. And if production is not outgoing, that could set a tone for everyone. If there
Yeah.
are shyer people, it's always good to have someone in production that can, okay, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's do the meeting. So I think it's important to, like you said, be that bridge, because you might have a director that is very introverted and just wants to draw and do, typing, and maybe not face-to-face meetings, or maybe they're intimidated by a very outgoing writer. Who knows? I've definitely seen those kind of things clash. So I think as a PM or AP, or even as an LP or an EP, all the P's, you definitely want to be mindful of the personalities and trying to get ahead of it. Okay, this is a thing for this episode. Let me talk to that director, make sure he's cool with it. If he needs clarity from the writers, let's say, let's book that meeting, make sure they're communicating, and then hopefully they'll do some on their own, but it's always good to facilitate it and also let them know that you expect it, that it's part of their job as those leadership positions. You're a great storyboard artist, you got promoted to director, let's say, but we expect you now to do some of the managing as well. We expect you to up that communication. If maybe you were a storyboard artist, didn't talk a lot, we do expect you to at least voice your concerns or communicate at least with me or with someone that's communicating with me, so that we can know what's going on, and make the best show we can.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a lot of it is knowing your team and knowing where to set the bar and where to ask them to raise it and really, really communicating. So you've talked a lot about, what it looks like in a perfect sunshiny day when things are going well. Where are there areas where things can go wrong? Where are there pitfalls that you've seen between, maybe for a showrunner communicating with someone in your position?
I mean, obviously, something can go wrong everywhere in the pipeline. So it's definitely good to check in on those things. But from a showrunner perspective, I think when you're first getting on a show, and obviously I haven't been a showrunner, but from just what I've seen, it's definitely important to hire a balance of experienced people and not experienced, because I've definitely seen where, oh, we have these five leadership roles and four of them are people doing it for the first time, that kind of thing. And it is great to give people opportunities, but I would definitely recommend at least a couple people that have done the role before or have a lot of experience in a similar role. Because I think what makes a show successful is when those leaders can lean on their leadership below them and they don't feel like they have to take on as much, because it's a lot of work being an EP. Whether you have co-EPs or not, you're going to have a ton of stuff coming your way. You're going to be in constant meetings. And so I think having that leadership below you, whether it's your art director supervising all the supervisors that you're going to have, including production, you're going to want to trust them. You're going to want to feel like they know what they're doing. You can lean on them. You can delegate to them. You don't have to hoard work because you feel like, oh, I can't give that to my art director. He's brand new or whatever. And again, I do promote people and want them to grow, of course, but I think that could be a big thing where if you don't have that balance, your potential for mistakes is going to go way up. And I think also as an EP, if you do have co-EPs or partners, lean on them. And what are their strengths? What are your strengths? Kind of be honest about that. Of like, you know what? I'm not as organized as you are, so maybe I need this help versus you. Or And I think that's a huge thing too, like what is this EP's strengths and what do they need help with? And then how do we support that? What do we do to accommodate those maybe weaknesses or just things that they're not as comfortable with or just don't have as much practice in? What kind of background did they come from? Okay, maybe they don't need as much support in that area. If they're a storyboard artist their whole life and now they're an EP, maybe it's okay if the, directors are a little more green because they're coming from that background. Maybe if you come from a different background, you want to make sure that your storyboard supervisors are really strong. And just kind of balancing that so you feel like all the bases are covered. Because once you have all of the bases covered with strong leadership, I think that is like the key for smooth sailing in a lot of ways. Like I have the art covered, I have the story covered, I have the writing room covered, whether it's a story editor or a writing EP. And then you can really trust like that it'll kind of trickle down, hopefully.
Now, what's your process been like for sort of vetting people to make sure you are getting people who might be a good fit for your shows?
Interviewing and resumes and portfolios and reels are it's a very tedious process. I've talked to a lot of other EPs and LPs about this too, because I just always want to learn other people's experiences. Because you can be in the industry 10 years and work on two shows, so it's definitely important to talk to people. And a lot of times it's hard. You find amazing candidates and then they're like, I'm not available, or oh, I this is my rate. And you're just like, oh, I can't go that high. Or, maybe they have certain circumstances that don't work. And I have a friend right now that's an LP or an LP on a new show. And they're interviewing a bunch of people looking for an art director. And it just takes time sometimes. And from the production standpoint, that's frustrating because obviously if you get greenlit, you have a schedule ready to go into production. So you're like, I better find these positions quickly. But I would personally recommend take your time finding those people. If it takes a little longer, don't just be like, well, the schedule says we need to start next week. I mean, obviously there's some things you can't move. But if you can, just try to really lock in those key people. And if it takes another couple weeks, so be it, because it is difficult, It's those great people are out there, but a lot of them are, oh, I have another project that's going for 6 months. I just want to finish it or whatever it is. It's really hard. And I think again, like when you're interviewing, keep in mind what are you looking for? Not just their skill set and their history, but also what's their personality? Do they seem like someone who'll come to me with a problem? Or do they seem like someone who'll just kind of hoard it and then you'll have to like hear about it when it becomes a big thing. And obviously interviews are hard and you kind of have to just try your best to read people, but I think that's a big part of it too, the personality and their willingness to communicate, collaborate, that kind of thing.
Right, because you're not just putting together like hiring individually, you're putting together a team, and it's about that chemistry, that collaborative spirit,
Yeah.
right? So lastly, I just wanted to ask, is there any general advice that you'd have for someone who's recently been put in charge of a show for the first time? And this might be like a live action creative team that just landed an animation show, and they might be totally new to this world. Would you have any advice for showrunners like that?
I mean, obviously, a first thing would be to sit down with someone, maybe in my role, to go over the entire pipeline with them. I mean, if I were an EP, I would want to understand everything. Would I have to know the minutiae of it? No, but I would want to understand how it fits into what's expected of me and what I'll be, critiquing or leading. So I think that would be a huge one. If you're someone who likes documents, if you have any kind of pop pipeline document to have as like a cheat sheet of like what even is a supervising post coordinator or whatever, you're not sure what those things might be. So even just to have that there so that you feel informed and feel like you know what's going on and because a lot of times people will use abbreviations or they'll do the EP, LP, PC. We're sending this to SH and TC and we're going to get that on SG and you're just like, what is that? So if you want to ask your team too, could I get a cheat sheet of like our most common terms or what programs are we using? So when people say in Maya or in this thing, you're not just like, what is that? And maybe it's not your domain. You're never going to open that program on your computer ever in your life, but you want to feel like you know what's being discussed. So I think leaning on production for that and asking them, what are things that I should look out for too? And hopefully that kind of goes with hiring people with experience because they'll be able to speak to that and say, we are hoping to like look to you for this kind of guidance or this kind of wisdom, or this is going to be what you're going to be handling. This is what we're going to be handling too. Because I think it does differ between live action especially, maybe EPs take on more or less different kinds of roles. So I think it's really good to set up those expectations of these kind of problems are your concern, these kind of problems are my concern. We can always talk about them with each other. But FYI, you know, if you see a problem like this, please come to me. If I see a problem like this, I'll go to you, that kind of thing. So that people feel kind of a solid foundation in what's expected, what's to come, and what to do if there are things that they're concerned with. So I think that's a big one. And again, if you have leadership that you feel like you can trust, so important, because then you can always go to them and say, hey, I had this meeting the other day. I'm not sure if this is a normal animation thing or not. And they can then have their experience come and say, yes, that's normal, unfortunately, or whatever it is. But yeah, that's what I would suggest.
I think that's perfect, because, you know, when you're starting out and you might be a first time showrunner, the first thing you should do is ask what you don't know, right? And connect with someone in a position like yours who will be more than happy to fill in those holes so that there aren't surprises down the road, right?
Absolutely. And I think also, especially coming from like a writer standpoint, because I feel like you might see more of that from outside of animation than you might of like another kind of EP. Usually like people more on the art side are already in animation. And I think a big thing to make sure that writers and people running a writer's room are aware of is why some things are difficult in animation. Maybe it's easy to just write a whole new scene and think, whatever, it's like the same characters we're already using, and not think about the complexity as it applies to animation too. So that's something that I would also expect my production team to tell me, hey, these things are really difficult in animation, or past this stage of the script, we really need to contain these kinds of revisions, that kind of thing too. So that you're keeping the production in mind, and you know, it is a company and an industry, and unfortunately there are limits. And I know sometimes you don't want to hear it. You're just like, this is about to ship, but I want a totally new scene here. And, you know, I think it's important for production to be assertive and say, these are our limitations. These are the things you can do and can't, and try to work within that as best you can. There are some things you can push, but understanding that is an important part of the overall team's success too, because if something at the beginning is complex, the board artists will only make it more complex. The design team will want to add their thing, because everyone kind of wants to put their little touch on something. Understandably, it's a creative industry. So, you know, starting at that writing stage is really important so that it doesn't get out of hand. And then the animation studio is like, we cannot do this. So,
Yeah. Very good. Very good to know. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're extremely busy these days working on two high profile projects. Is that what people should look out for from you next, is Star Trek Prodigy and the Rise of the TMNT movie?
I think so. Yeah. I think they're both going to be amazing. You know, I worked on the Rise series as well, so it's a big kind of passion project as well, but it looks so good. The art is amazing, and Star Trek Prodigy looks so good. It's just amazing. We've been able to do this from home as well. So really excited for those. So keep an eye out.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to those. Well, just for viewers at home to know, this video will be available as part of the Showrunner Training Series. Tanya, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.